From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs at the National Association of Postal Supervisors, and this will be our year-end program of Naps Chat. And I'm joined today with our national president, Brian Wagner. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon, Bob. Happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, and happy New Year to everybody.
Our executive vice president, Ivan Butts.
Good afternoon, Bob. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas to all our NAPS members out there.
And our secretary treasurer, Chuck Mulladore.
Thank you, Bob. It's glad to be back. Merry Christmas to all. Happy holidays and a happy and prosperous New Year ahead for all of our membership.
Well, I was prepared today to talk about a year in review, but there has been a lot that has happened this past week. The president of the United States got impeached, only the third time in U.S. history that's happened. But we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. What I do want to just address also is that some late-breaking news, and that is the past chairman of the Postal Subcommittee, Mark Meadows, a four-term member of Congress, the former chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, a close friend of the President of the United States, and a strong proponent of postal reform, announced that he was not seeking re-election in the November election. That's a big deal.
Yeah, Bob, that really came as a surprise. I hear even to his own staff that he announced that he's not going to seek re-election. That's a big blow to leadership in the Republican Party. Also, I mean, we appreciate the work Representative Meadows did last year for us in the creation of the Postal Reform Bill. It was very unfortunate that we couldn't get that through to the finish line. But, you know, we look forward to what we can do next year with postal reform. But again, it's a big blow to Republican leadership. And you're right, a strong proponent of the president not seeking reelection. Big news today.
What also is important about this, and it goes without saying, because we've referenced it in the past, particularly when the former chairman of the committee, Elijah Cummings, passed not long ago, is that Chairman Cummings and Mr. Meadows worked very closely together. And not only they were political adversaries on a number of issues, but with regard to postal service, they worked together. And more important than that, they were actually friends. And it's not often that you have individuals these days from different ends of the political spectrum actually having a close personal relationship. And they were sort of role models, I think, to members of Congress in having how to deal with one another, particularly if they disagree.
Yeah, I think that was an example of what it should be like up there. Working together, although they were from different parties, they truly, truly had a friendship, which helped them into working across the aisle with one another for the betterment of America. So it's an example that should be emulated across our legislative halls.
A couple of other things happened this week, namely the House and today the Senate passed a government funding bill, which means the federal government will not shut down. The funding bill is going to go through the end of the fiscal year, which is next September. That's September 30th, 2020. In those bills, the funding bills, is one particular issue that will impact NAPS members, and it impacts the Federal Employees Health Benefits Program, and that is the Cadillac tax on excessive health benefits that was included in the Affordable Health Care Act is repealed under the budget agreement, which means that the additional sort of 2% sort of add-on that was to this year's FEHBP premiums will not be part of premiums that you'll see in 2020. Now, Brian, our folks feel very strongly and very protective of their health benefits, so this will have a meaningful impact on health, on their premiums.
Oh, definitely. And again, you know, we went through the pay package this year, and we didn't see any increase to our members in what they have to pay in their health benefits with regard to the pay package that the post office proposed. So not having increases definitely helps with our members in being able to have the best health benefits possible.
And one of the and two other issues that were in bills that have passed the Congress this past week, one of which was, and it does not apply to postal employees, unfortunately, and that is a 3.1% increase in federal employee salaries. Now, as I said, let me restate that. This does not apply to postal employees because postal employees are subject to collective bargaining on the part of craft employees, and managerial-level employees are subject to consultative rights. But when you have a 3.1% or an increase in federal salaries, how does that impact our discussions with postal headquarters? Chuck, if you could chime in on that.
Well, I think it impacts our discussions on pay, and it just simply highlights the discrepancy that we as EAS employees, managers, supervisors, postmasters, MDOs, STOs, all the administrative folks, all the hundreds of various jobs that we represent as an organization at NAPS, the discrepancy and the disparity in how we are compensated and treated in pay compensation talks. So we have a pay-for-performance system that we were forced to go to court to challenge because of the fact that, you know, it does not apply to any of these types of fare raises, fare issues to our employees. So we wish we could get a compensation package that would have a 3.1% increase, cost of living increases, step increases, things like that. But we're fighting for that. And these things, I think, only highlight the discrepancy in pay that federal employees, federal managers and supervisors get in terms of compensation, and the fight that we have to go through just to get anything in terms of pay for our members that we represent.
Yeah, another win for the federal employee community, now this doesn't apply to postal employees because of collective bargaining consultations, is that federal employees now will be eligible for 12 weeks of family medical leave. That does not apply to postal employees, but it does apply to federal employees, both managerial level and regular federal employees. The Postal Service in the past has taken family medical leave that was available to federal employees and then applied it to the postal employees, or was that subject to collective bargaining?
Well, from the standpoint of, as for the collective bargaining side, I can't speak on that, but even from the on the NAP side, on the EAS, we've had family medical leave for our EAS. And again, it's a benefit that it's necessary to protect the EAS and their jobs and be able to take care of family matters and their health and the newborn child and all that. So I think that is a good thing that we still have that for our members as a benefit.
Yeah, and if I could just add, Bob, I mean, the Postal Service, we follow the family medical leave guidelines as outlined in the federal law for Family Medical Leave Act. So we mirror exactly what the law says and how we apply it to postal employees.
As I started out this whole conversation about the week in the review, a lot has happened this week, and we look for distractions. And now we all get distracted in particular ways. We're all now in the bubble of Washington. Brian, you originally come from Illinois. Ivan, you're originally from Pennsylvania. Chuck, you're originally from Ohio. I'm from New York. But now we're all in this Washington bubble, and a lot of very, very interesting activities occurred this week. So we look for distractions. In fact, I was just referencing to Ivan yesterday that between yesterday and next week, I will have seen 3 movies, which is more movies than I've probably seen in the past year. Yesterday, I saw Cats, the musical, which is a new movie. I've seen 1917, excellent movie about World War I. And next week, I'm going to be seeing The Rise of Skywalker. And these are all sort of movies that sort of distracting. So I want to ask you, distractions, and then we'll pivot. What movies distracted you from the activities in Washington this year?
Well, for me, we travel a lot, if you don't know. So my movies are really on the plane, on my iPad. But I have some great movies of yesterday. Just the Beatles music was just a great time. And then Bohemian Rhapsody, you know, Queen. You know, I just love the music. Just kind of gives you a chance to kind of sit back in time and just kind of enjoy the music that's out there.
I know Ivan's given some thought to this.
Well, Brian is right. We do travel a lot, trying to reach out and touch our members across the country. But when I am in town on Tuesdays, it's actually a date night for me and Lori. So we go out to the movies on Tuesdays. For me this year, if I have to make a choice, I'm going to probably go with Joker.
Okay.
Joaquin Phoenix really played an outstanding role in that. If I'm going all time, me and Chuck already know this.
Oh, okay.
If all time, you got to go with The Godfather.
One or two.
Godfather one.
Richard. Okay. Richard. You like Sonny when Sonny gets it at the toll booth, huh?
Absolutely.
Chuck.
Actually, when Michael gets his revenge.
That's, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, Ivan's right. The Godfather's your all-time favorite. But before I talk about a movie, I'd say the way that the biggest distraction for me, and you mentioned it, that I was from Ohio, is a throw word in there from my Ohio State Buckeyes, who are in the college football playoff, December the 28th. I know I'm going to get a lot of grief for this, but go Bucks. Now, movies?
I noticed that you're not talking about the Cleveland Browns.
I'm not talking about the Cleveland Browns, Bob. We're sticking with the Ohio State Buckeyes. We'll keep it on that level.
Not even the Cincinnati Bengals.
No. We'll keep it with the Buckeyes. That's where we're going to stay with it. Movies, I think the best movie, in my opinion, I saw this year was Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I really enjoyed that movie. It's kind of quirky. It's one of those endings where you didn't see that coming. And you knew what the history was. And then all of a sudden, it ended completely different. So I just thought that was a great movie. Great actors, great movie, great story.
Now that we've talked about distractions are just that. We still have to be focused on the issues at stake to postal supervisors, and that is the Postal Service, its financial situation, its operational situation, and the benefits and compensation to which our members are duly entitled. So as we look back in this year, the focus that we've had like a laser beam has been on those issues, and I'd like to sort of talk about that a little bit more. So over the past year, Brian, we have not been distracted from certain very key issues. What are those key issues?
Bob, basically the key issue is with our pay package and NAPS going to fact-finding, getting an excellent report from the fact-finders, an independent three-panel, independent mediators on a fact-finding. The fact that the NAPS executive board came together unanimously and decided when we did not get a fair pay offer in May, voted unanimously to go to court, take the post office to court on pay. And we have filed our lawsuit on that, and we're continuing that efforts. Now, we did go back a week or so ago. The post office asked us to come and reconsider possibly some changes to the FY1920 PFP NPA. And the resident officers, in good faith, came back to the table with the Postal Service, and they're going to give our members the pay increases basically based off of FY18 and increase that back to box four is 2% and so forth, and that the minimum and maximums were going to go up. So we will go back to the table with the Postal Office on a work study group. But one of the biggest things we did not do, and reflection on this, is the fact that we maintained our rights and claims to our lawsuit to continue forward for the betterment of our members. And that was key for us getting back there.
So the bottom line, Brian, is that the resident officers were able to achieve a progressive benefit package, pay package, for this year without compromising our ability to proceed with legal action.
That's correct, Bob. I couldn't have said it any better. Thank you.
Ivan, where do we focus? Where should we be focused?
Well, I think our focus needs to continually be legislatively as it was this year. I think we showed laser focus on getting out and advocating for the legislation that's supportive of not just the United States Postal Service, but to our NAPS members also. We had LTS. We did a data dive, as you know, after the LTS, and we've seen significant increases in the legislation we took to the Hill at LTS. Increases in the co-sponsorship and across the board with those legislative pieces up to a month after our LTS visits up on the Hill. So that's great, great involvement, great engagement by our members, and we just need to keep that focus going into 2020. I really am appreciative of the work our advocates did out there in the field when we made our call for putting calls out a few weeks ago for H.R. 2382 to try to get the needed 16 co-sponsors onto that bill so we could get it out on a floor vote on the consent calendar. The bill was introduced by Peter DeFazio, and you guys showed up and showed out once again. I think within 2 weeks of us putting out that call, we had the necessary 16 members, the 290 co-sponsor plateau that needed to be for to have that put on the consent calendar, and it is now on the consent calendar. So we continue to show the power that we have when we're legislatively connected out there in the field, and I just hope that we can transfer that into 2020 as we move forward, not just with our legislation, but also with our SPAC that really fuels us up here in D.C. and bring it home with sound postal reform that can go through, and then some sound changes, hopefully, to Title 39.
And Chuck, one of the things that you've been focusing on is membership issues and growing our membership and demonstrating the importance of membership in the organization.
Yes, right. And that's been a key focus of mine this year, and it will be moving into 2020. In fact, probably in February, we're going to announce a membership drive here from headquarters driven, down through our board members, down through the field. So we've got to do some work on membership. We maybe go up 1 or 2% a year, but we need to do better. And that's going to be the focus moving ahead. We have a lot of folks out there that are new EAS. Many of them just coming from the craft. They were carriers or clerks or mail handlers, MHAs, PSCs, CCAs, for maybe a few months. And suddenly they got promoted, and now they're in different assignments that they may not have the training to be successful in. So we've got to reach out to those folks at the local level and get them to sign up so they understand the value that we bring to being a member of NAPS, not only from the lawsuit and pay on a more larger scale level, but what we do for people at the local level in terms of training, in terms of fellowship, in terms of working with our membership to help protect them at the local level, help represent them at the local level, and do all the things we do as local branch members. So it's really vital that we do more on membership, increase membership. I mean, membership is the lifeblood of the organization, of any organization. And growing membership will only allow us to do more and more of the things that Ivan and Brian have been talking about. As we increase members, we increase revenue, which is good. And we had a very good year in 2019. Revenue-wise, budget-wise, we've done very, very well. So I'm proud of all that. I'm proud of our board members, proud of our local branch presidents, all of who pitch together and do the best we possibly can to help represent our organization with our membership at the local level. And I just think we need to have that continue into 2020. I know it will, and we'll see where it goes. But membership is one of the key focus of mine and Ivan and Brian and all of us, and it will be going forward into 2020.
It should be mentioned that in most organizations these days, because of so many conflicting and priorities that individuals have, that membership organizations generally have been in the decline. And to the extent that NAPS has grown, goes against the grain right now, and that for which each and every one of you should be extremely proud, because most other organizations are losing membership. We, in as much as we are gaining, is definitely testament to the hard work of y'all and the officers out there in the field.
Bob, I think on that, it's because of the efforts we're putting as a team whether it's resident officers and your executive board, we're focusing on what's best for the members, on their pay. We're taking a stand. We're doing what we need to do to make sure that the members' livelihoods are taken care of. And we'll continue to look at what's going to be best for the members with regard to pay and benefits and how we can train them through the various training opportunities. But I think when we get the message out, here are the benefits of NAPS, we should see more people showing up. And NAPS has taken a strong stand to making sure that EAS get paid fair and equitably and for what they deserve for all their hard work.
One of the, you know, as Ivan was referencing before about on the legislative front, one of the issues that we're dealing with in postal sustainability is taking a renewed focus on the Postal Regulatory Commission, particularly in as much as there's, for the time being, we have a lame duck postmaster general through the end of the month of January, and we'll get a new postmaster general, and you know, there's going to be a transition period. So the PRC, particularly with their 10-year rate review, because the financial sustainability of the Postal Service is determined by the only way we can reach raise revenue, and that's postage. So we're, as an organization, we're taking a very strong interest in the deliberations of the Postal Regulatory Commission, particularly in raising revenue. And one of the issues we've been talking about here is that the 2006 postal legislation, which limited postal rates to the Consumer Price Index for urban consumers, it's called the CPIU, that was never really the appropriate index for determining rate increases. There are other indices which are more appropriate, like the Consumer Price Index for Delivery Services, which looks at messengers and delivery services and the costs that sort of drive that inflation rather than whether or not the carton of milk goes up by a couple of cents. We need to look at fuel and look at the cost of labor to take a package or take a piece of mail from point A to point B. And I think that's something that I know we're all concerned about. Do you have any sense, you know, about postage and about the ability of us to compete on a revenue, you know, with competition with Amazon and with UPS and FedEx and, you know, how we're going to proceed on that?
Well, we're always in for competing with giving the best service possible with and making sure that we have the resources to get the job done. And I think that's what's critical for our supervisors and our managers and all of our EAS to make sure they have the resources to be able to work efficiently and positively. You know, again, when you're looking at the cost of living of things, you know, the CPI of, like I said, transportation, delivery, I mean, our members are looking for a cost of living raise that they haven't had for over 20 years. So these are some things that has to be looked at and justified on. It is justified that it's something that we need to do. As for these challenges of the delivery with Amazon and the other competitors, I think we've got the best team out there in the Postal Service. And as long as our members have the resources to get the job done, we'll continue to deliver.
Yeah, for me, Bob, I mean, I agree with 100% what Brian is saying. I'm glad that the PRC is taking up the 10-year review again now that they brought on the new members on the panel. Hopefully we can get a 10-year plan and get raises that obviously we don't have to go back with this extra gen price increase like we had to do based on the last Postal Reform Act and the shortfall that we came in. I think one of the biggest challenges for us going forward as an agency is going to be the new dynamic of Amazon and its own logistics network. We're seeing volume taken out of places that used to be high volume, although we still do a lot of deliveries for Amazon. As their logistics network grows, we could probably see continued changes in that process, and we don't really know how that's going to impact us, or as it, for a matter of fact, any of the other delivery. Agencies such as FedEx and UPS, but obviously we see that it's going to have an impact. So, you know, a lot of uncertainty out there, but, you know, with the PRC and the leadership we have up there, I think they'll make a fair and concise review of the plan and put us on the best footing to be competitive going forward.
And, you know, I saw an article yesterday, the day before, about performance at Christmas time, and how FedEx and UPS have really not delivered this season. And the article was kudos to the Postal Service because, you know, we were, again, as we almost are every single peak season, and I've been around for 30 plus of them, we always outshine the competition. When the chips are down and something's got to get done, our carriers, clerks, supervisors, managers, we get it done. And I think the message is, if you adjust in terms of Congress, take the shackles off, and in terms of senior postal leadership, let us do what we know how to do as managers, supervisors, postmasters. A lot of these issues would be taken care of because we know what the job involves every single day. But we get into some of these redundant, foolish reporting, telecons, and so forth that keep us from actually doing the things that we need to do. So Congress needs to do something. I mean, just do something as far as the Postal Service is concerned. Let us do our job. And my message for the new year, for the new PMG and the senior leadership is, let us do as EAS what we know how to do. And if that all were to happen, we'd be in a much better place no matter who's regulating us.
Okay, well, that's a great segue. So I'm going to ask Brian and Ivan to say, as we move to 2020, what is your hope and aspiration for the next year for the Postal Service and for our members?
Well, always the hope and aspiration is that the Postal Service always remains successful. And that we can grow the organization through the good work of our members. And as for our members, my hope and dreams for them for the 2020, that they are prosperous, they're successful, and they're given the opportunities in their careers at the Postal Service to move up, retire, and enjoy the time they have so that at the end of the day, they know that they did the best job they could and they'll just treasure those times they've had with the people they've worked with.
Ivan?
Well, for me, Bob, for the Postal Services, it's my hope that they will come to this work group table in the full spirit of what they acknowledge as the broken pay-for-performance system and work with us to fix that system so we can fix the process for all EAS in the Postal Service. For our NAPS members, again, is that we could hopefully stay legislatively smart and aware, be prepared for a march up on the Hill to drive home the initiatives of changes to Title 39 in support of postal reform, in support of the other initiatives that we may take, postal banking, whatever other services we might be able to take up on the Hill. But let us just stay legislatively smart and attentive and active in 2020.
That's a pitch for you. If you haven't registered yet for the leadership training seminar in March, do so right now because it's important. And what are the dates, Ivan?
All right, the legislative training seminar is March 8th through 11th at Crystal Gateway Marriott. Registration is open online. Registration is only online, and it is open and ready for you to sign up and have you and your group come up here and help us hit the Hill with all the strength we can in March.
Brian, what is the flavor of the week?
Bob, it's been a long year. We've done some very successful things. We want to start 2020 off right. I know it's the last flavor of the week, but I'm going to make it a triple scoop celebration of peppermint, eggnog, and sugar cookie.
Wow. Now, everyone should know that Brian is wearing a seasonal tie, a Christmas tie, and fortunately, none of us are wearing our ugly Christmas sweaters. And on behalf of the National Association of Postal Supervisors, a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and a wonderful New Year. If you're listening to this on iTunes, please subscribe and give us 5 stars. With that, we'll see you next year.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe.